Good morning, everyone. Good to be here. Got a good looking crowd here this morning. Most of you good looking. There's two or three that's not. I'm one of them. But you're looking good anyway. My mouth gets me in trouble, so I just don't. I don't need even be talking. But through it all, that'd be all right. You got your words. You don't even sing on this one anyway, do you? All right. I've had many tears and sorrow, had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in my desperation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come only to make me strong. And I've seen lots of faces. There've been times I felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, God lets me know I am His own. In God, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Everybody knows that chorus, don't you? You help me sing it, would you? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend. Thank you. I'm learning, still learning to trust Him, but boy, it sure is a blessing to trust the Lord. What a blessing it is to know the Lord. And when I sometimes say, Lord, I don't have the words, the vocabulary to describe how blessed and how thankful I need to be and should be for all the wonderful things He's done for us. And He understands my shortcomings, but I praise Him and thank Him this morning for who He is, and I thank Jesus for being so obedient to His Father's will. I say that a lot, but He was obedient to His Father's will when He went to the cross. If He hadn't been obedient, if He'd called the angels to come and rescue Him, we would be in bad shape today. But we're very blessed. This is an old song that you'll recognize, and everybody loves it. If I can remember how to do the intro. I forgot how to play this song. me, Lord. What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul. From you. And maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So over real quick, and got a song that we're going to do a couple with the guitar, and I got one I want to do this morning that remind me dear. This is old Dottie Rambo song, and I really enjoy this song. Goes along with Why Me, Lord. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember that I'm human. Humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hand. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I just can't understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember that I'm human. Humans forget. So remind me, remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember that I'm human. Humans forget, so remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, dear Lord. Real quick, calling you. Glad to have Scott with me. Couldn't be with me Tuesday night. Sad when you have to work, ain't it?
Does anybody else work for a living?
You can push your mic up a little bit, I think. You have a problem getting Scott loud enough. Now, he's loud at them ball games when his grandkids are playing. You can hear him good out there. But
he's used to his wife hollering at him real loud. That's why he wants me to holler, too.
I'm used to somebody talking. I can hear him good. Yep. This old song we're going to, I enjoy. I've been around a long time, so I like old songs like new songs. And this is a real old one here, Calling You. When you strayed from the fold and there's trouble in your soul, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? When your soul is lost in sin and you're at your journey's end, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? Calling you,
calling you,
calling you. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? He will take you by the hand, lead you to the promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? As you journey day by day and temptation comes your way, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? If you follow in His light, He will always guide you right. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? Calling you,
calling you,
calling you,
calling you.
Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? By the hand, lead you to the promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? When your soul is burdened down and your friends cannot be found, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? If you follow Him each day, He will brighten up your way. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? Calling you.
Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? He will take you by the hand, lead you to the promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? He will take you by the hand, lead you to the promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you?
Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit, give Bobby a break here. Thank the Lord for everything he's done for me in my life and my kids and my grandkids. And I enjoy playing with Bobby. I missed Tuesday night, had to work, but you know how it goes sometimes. Work calls and got to go back. Been doing the same thing for 42 years, so a few more years and maybe I'll be out of it. Never know. But I just thank God for every day of my life and everything he's done for me.
Let's do this song right there.
Right there.
One, two.
I got this lady tells me what my tempo is going to be, so you probably heard her. They know what they're doing. The GPS has a lady telling you where to go when you're driving, and I set my tempo. This lady tells me what speed I need. And I listen to it good.
Okay.
This is a great song.
Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark will stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that we could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died. Ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? He does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And does Jesus our Messiah hold forever those he loves? He does. Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slain. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy?
Take too much time. When I put you on the spot, you read the other night a couple in out of Revelation. Would you do that for me real quick? This was a blessing the other night to Cowboy Church. We sung this song and he shared this.
In chapter 5 of Revelation, it tells us why Jesus is the answer to life's biggest problem. Our biggest problem is who is worthy to unroll the blueprint of God's final plan for our salvation. And it says here that John saw in heaven that no one on heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book and look in it. And then he says, I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look in it. And then one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome. So to open the book and its seven seals, and I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out to all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book, to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda, for giving me, making me aware of the song. Linda back there made us aware of it. Do you want it to the table? Do you want that now? Or do you want it a little bit later? Okay. We'll do this and wrap it up for our part. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for allowing us to come. And we enjoy being here. And I really appreciate the presence of the Lord this morning. That's what makes it all. If it's in my, nothing I can do on my end, it can bless you like the presence of the Lord. He does that, and he enters our services, and it's just wonderful. So he lets us know that he loves us. That's a great song, and this is one that's going to sort of lead up to communion, I think, this morning. Mm-hmm.
of love is calling. There's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything you're going through. But you keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. There's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place and bring it all to the table? There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, the fears that hold your heart. But through the cross you've been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. And bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow, sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it on to the table. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it on to the table. Bring it.
Y'all give Bobby Ray and Scott another hand. I love that song. The first time I heard Bobby Ray and Scott do it, I said that, you know, we need to do that when we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And we'd planned that here a while back, and something happened, and we couldn't have it. So we postponed the Lord's Supper till it was back again for that song. And today we're here to partake of the Lord's Supper. And Jesus says that we're to do this in remembrance of him. And so I want to talk to you a little bit in John's Gospel. Skipped over some of chapter 12 so we can look at the Lord's Supper today. And we'll come back to that. But I want to talk to you about washing up for the Lord's Supper this morning. You know, you are blessed if you'll do these three steps. You know, when I was a kid, my mama, my daddy, and then later I got married, and my mother-in-law had this holler. Now, I tried to do it my whole life, so I won't attempt it now because I could never get it. But it was some kind of woo, you know, and it meant it's supper time. But now, think about it. When we was kids and you come to wash up for supper, you'd come in. Somebody had to teach you to wash your hands, right? And evidently, I was a slow learner because I remember I used to come and sit down at the table, and you know what my mama would say? You ain't washed your hands. And I'd be like, how do you know that, Mama? Because you ain't been gone long enough, right? She showed me how to wash my hands. Through COVID, we kept seeing, you know, you got to wash them for 20 seconds. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to say your ABCs. You got to wash them that long. Well, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, there's three steps this morning that I want you to see that we need to wash up. We need to get prepared. Paul talks about we can partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. One way is not to be saved. You don't want to partake of the Lord's Supper until you've come to a relationship with Christ. You've repented of your sins. You've asked Jesus to forgive you. You believe he died for your sins. That's one way that is worthy. Other ways is the way that we react to Jesus and to the world. So this morning, if you will, look with me here. If you want to stand, I know you've been sitting, you can. If you don't stand, good, stay seated. I'm going to read these first four verses, and then we're going to jump in chapter 13 of John's Gospel. It says, now therefore, the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come forth from the Father and was going back to God, got up from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for revealing yourself, your holiness, your greatness, your majesty to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you for loving us, for demonstrating your love for us, in that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, I just pray this morning as we look at this text that it would prepare our hearts to be worshipful, obedient, and come to the table in remembrance of all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was looking at this and I was thinking, because John's gospel doesn't give us a great detail about what's going on at the Lord's Supper. But I see three steps here. If you think about John's gospel, the first 12 chapters actually make up 3 years of Jesus' ministry. 3 years of Jesus' ministry. And now the second half of his gospel here, the next eight chapters here, it looks at like 3 days of his ministry. So John slows way down here. So we got a lot of what Jesus has been doing with the miracles. John says, I wrote this gospel so that you'd believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life and have it eternal in his name. So he showed these miracles, he showed these signs, and now he slows down to show how Jesus is going to accomplish this for us. Bobby Ray and them was singing about the world groaning, looking for redemption. And here he slows way down and shows us this. So as we look at this, I want us to look at 3 steps that we can do to wash up for supper, okay? First of all, we need to understand the extent of Jesus' love. We need to understand the extent of his love. We need to accept his self-sacrifice for us. And then we need to be willing to imitate Jesus' humble service, his humble service for us. It says here that now before the feast of the Passover, we won't go into a lot of details, but a lot of commentators have always kind of debated here between the other 3 Gospels and John's. How did this work out, the word before? It just means that Jesus knew before they began having this supper that his hour had come. That he knew before he gets up and washes the disciples' feet, he knew what was going on. He knew that the hour had come. It talks about his hour had arrived. In chapter 12, the hour is talking about the crucifixion. The hour is talking about for him to glorify God by doing what God sent him to do. It's what it's talking about. It says before the feast of the Passover. So this is on Thursday after 6 o'clock. Good Friday is coming. And Jesus says, knowing that his hour's come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, and having loved his own who were in the world. Now these are the disciples. These are those that he had called. This is you and I. But these are the disciples that he is with here. And he has called them out of the world to learn from him, to be his disciples, to believe in him. And it says he's loved them. Now when you first read this, it says that he has loved them to the end. So, you know, you kind of think, well, he loves them to the end of his life. But this word here is telos. And it literally means to completion, to the fullness, to the fullest extent. This is how much Jesus loves you. That's what this is saying. This is how much Jesus loves you, that Jesus loves you and demonstrates the fullness of his love with self-sacrificial service. Look what it says. During the service, or during the supper, the devil had already put into Judas Iscariot. I told him at Cowboy Church the other night, I used to have a buddy, Todd Iscariot, and I asked him if he ever thought about changing his name. I believe I'd have went and paid my $10, right? Yeah, I know he probably got picked on in school. But Judas here, the devil has not entered Judas yet, but he's already tempted him. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we got to get to the Lord's Supper, but think about it. You know, sometimes we say, well, the devil made me do it. But sometimes the devil has not really pushed us that much. He just sees little things in our life that we like, and he tempts us with it, right? Judas had a problem with money. We learned that over here in the previous chapter, that he used to pilfer from the money box. So he has put this in Judas's heart. Guess what? Judas has heard that the leaders are wanting someone to betray Jesus. So he's already got it in his mind. You know, he's put it in our heart that, you know, everybody's in the bed. It'll be okay to watch that TV show. Nobody really cares, Pastor. Nobody will know it. You know what I mean? Or, you know, well, I'm out with the guys I used to hang around with, so it's okay to talk like that. Nobody will know it, right? I'm not at church, right? Do you see where I'm going with this? Sometimes we get tempted, and the more that we ease over here to away from the way God wants us to be living, the easier it is for Satan to keep tempting us worse and worse and worse. And that was free, so y'all don't get charged for that this morning. Amen? I just want you to watch temptation. So Judas here, he's already been tempted. He's going to betray Jesus. And look, Jesus knows this. He knows the Father has given all things into his hand, and that he has come from the Father, and now he's going back to the Father. He knows why he come. Jesus has already said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for the many. Now, in Luke's gospel, in Mark's gospel, and in Matthew's gospel, we learned something funny about the disciples, I think. Now, they was all dressed up looking good. They was at church. They was doing the Lord's Supper, right? But if you notice, afterwards in the other gospels, we find out something about these dudes. They have a debate. Who's going to be the greatest when we get to heaven? Who's going to be the greatest? Can you imagine this? You're with Jesus. Jesus is going to die for your sins, and you like, wonder if I'm going to have a big spot in heaven. Who's going to be the greatest? And you know our mamas always say, now you know he got a good heart. Our mamas want the best of us, right? So John, his mama has come and asked if her sons can sit on the right-hand side of Jesus. Like, give them a better position. Now, do you understand where I'm going with this? Sometimes when we come to the Lord's Supper, we got to remember. First thing we need to remember is we're not God. We got to remember what God did for us. And we got to remember that a humble heart is the only way we can receive the sacrifice Jesus made for us. Now, I love that song, Why Me, Lord? I heard Chris Christopherson say one time that he went to a Sunday night service, might have been a revival, and said that the only reason he went, because there was nothing else to do. And this girl asked him to go, and he says he was sitting on the back row, and he said that preacher was preaching, and he says, well, I know one thing's for sure. This message ain't for me. He's not talking to me. And he says at the end of the service, he don't know what happened. Next thing he knew, he was down front at the altar. And the preacher was leading him in the sinner's prayer. And from that song comes. That's the way I understood the story. Why me, Lord? What did I ever do? Nothing. It's a humble, humble heart that accepts what Jesus has done for us. So here it says that Jesus got up. So what we need to do, first of all, is understand the extent of his love, how much Jesus loved us. It says he got up from the table, he laid aside his garments, and taking up a towel, he girded himself. Now, to understand this, we've already heard in chapter 10 that these same words, Jesus says that the Father loves him. Why? Because I lay down my life. If I lay down my life, I can pick my life up again. If we understand what Jesus is saying here is that he's going to take on the form of a servant. Paul puts it this way. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of man, being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under earth to the glory of the Lord, or the glory of the Father. Here Paul is saying that Jesus emptied himself. He got up from the table. He laid aside his garments. In other words, Jesus in heaven, fully God, laid aside his glory. Come to earth. And he says in Hebrews that God made a body, knitted together a body for him. He took on the form of a servant. Now, what does this mean to understand this? Did you know you was created to serve God? Somebody ought to say, yeah. God didn't need us. God created us to display his love, his grace, his mercy, his greatness. The love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He put Adam and Eve in the garden, and he says to what? Worship and obey, or till and keep. He gave them domain over everything. And they was to what? Multiply, create more worshipers of God. They was to be in service to God, yet they rebelled against God, not being humble. They what? You try to knock God off the throne. They wanted to be God themselves. And because of this, Jesus come to do what we didn't do, and that's serve God. The creator of all become a servant of all. That is the point here, and that's what we have to understand. It says that he girded himself. So Jesus, the teacher, Jesus, the leader, Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God, took on the form of a servant. In the first century culture, if you was at someone's home and you was Jewish, even if you was a slave in that house or a servant, as a Jewish person, you did not have to wash the feet of the guest. It was a Gentile servant that would wash the feet. Here, Jesus took on the form of a servant, a humble, humiliating job. Can you imagine? God, who is holy, who hates sin, whose sin cannot be in his presence, took on flesh, yet died on a cross in our place. He took our sin upon his body on a cross and died once for all sins, the just for the unjust, so that what? We might be brought to God. It was a humble thing. So it says he girded himself, so he wrapped the towel around him. Verse 5 says, then he poured water, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he's humbled himself. He's washing their feet. And in that day, they traveled a lot. They had sandals on. Their feet would be dirty when you get to the house. It was a matter of generosity, a matter of being a good host to have their feet cleaned where they have walked through the sandy and the dirty streets. And this is what Jesus is doing. Before they ate, as they were reclining with their feet sticking away from the table, Jesus washes their feet. And here it says, when he came to Simon Peter, he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you do not realize now, but you will realize hereafter. Jesus is saying, Peter, You don't get this. You're not going to understand this yet. This is more than me just washing your feet. After the resurrection, you will understand what I'm doing. I'm here to serve. I'm here as a sacrifice. I'm here to take your place. We need to think about what Jesus did when he died in our place. He came to this earth, and I say this all the time, he lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we deserve. He was buried. And 3 days later, God raised him to life so we would know that his sinless life had paid the debts for the sins of the world. Jesus is saying, I've come to serve. I've come to do the will of my Father. I've come to lay my life down. What greater love does one have than give his life to his friends? He says, I've come to die for you. I've come to demonstrate God's love to you. So he tells Peter, you will not understand this. And so Peter says, never shall you wash my feet. Now this is just like Peter. Here Kent Hughes says, one thing that you can pick up about Peter, most of the time when he opens his mouth, it's to change his feet. Right? He speaks too quick, right? He says, Lord, never will you wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said to him, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. In other words, Jesus is talking about more than here than just washing feet. He's talking about dying for them. He's talking about shedding his blood that washes away the sins. It's the Passover. They understand from the first Passover in Exodus that the blood on the door header and on the doorpost would cover sin so you wouldn't lose your son. That there is, and Hebrews 9:22 says there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Jesus is talking about cleansing them from their sins. He says, Peter, you've got to accept what I'm doing for you or you can't have no part of me. And he's already said that you must eat the flesh and you must drink the blood of the Messiah earlier in John's gospel. And you say, well, what does that mean, preacher? That means that we've got to humbly accept that Jesus and only Jesus is worthy to die for our sins. That we've got to accept that there's only one way to heaven, and that's by believing Jesus died for you, asking Jesus to forgive you, and accepting his sacrifice for us. You say, well, I know to do that. Yeah, but think about it. Sometimes before we take the Lord's Supper, we need to think about the things we do. I know most of y'all are saved, right? If you're saved, raise your hand. I hope you're saved. Amen. Amen. Now, and I'm a preacher and I'm saved, right? Y'all hope I am anyway, right? Y'all with me? But saved people still have a tendency to sin, right? So I'm saved. I'm looking good. Got my suit on. Been studying. Got my message together. I preach. I get to the back of the door, and for you, y'all come out, and y'all say something like, good sermon, preacher. Well, what happens to me? All of a sudden, I'm like, I'm doing pretty good. Right, Tony? I done my job today. The Lord's happy with me. Guess what? The Lord being happy with me won't get me in heaven. You know what the Lord's happy with? That I accepted Jesus' forgiveness. You know what the Lord's happy with? That you accepted Jesus' forgiveness. That's why I love Galatians 2:20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You know, any time that we start thinking we're doing all right, that's when you ought to say, thank you, Jesus, for living in me. Thank you, Jesus, for not letting me be who I used to be. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me love the way you want me to love. We have to accept Jesus' self-sacrifice for us. Look what Peter says. So Jesus done call Peter on the carpet again like he always has to. And he says, look, if you don't let me wash you, you ain't got no part. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he had said, not all of you, because he knew that Judas was betraying him. So what is he telling Peter? He's telling Peter, look, once you're saved, you're forgiven, you're on the way to heaven, you've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus, but guess what? There's some little things in your life that you need to leave at the altar and ask Jesus to forgive you. Let me show you how this works. Later, John writes this in his first letter. He says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in his light, he's talking about Jesus, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous. Say faithful and righteous. To forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him out a liar and his word is not in us. Here's the easiest way I can say this. If you come to the Lord's table and you say, I'm all right and everything's good in my life and I'm going to take the Lord's Supper and I'm going to remember Jesus died for me and I'm going to keep on doing just like I've been doing, guess what? You're lying to yourself. We all do things we ought not to do. Anger, gossip, grudge holding. Do I need to go on? Y'all see where I'm going with this? Saved people, y'all ain't going to believe this. Saved people still sin. And right when you deceive yourself and think that you're not sinning is when you realize that you haven't accepted Jesus' full sacrifice. When Jesus says, if you confess your sins, I'll forgive you. He says something else. And cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you know why sometimes we have to examine ourselves inside? If you got a problem with holding a grudge. Now, some of y'all might not. And I usually don't hold grudges. Because I know you get in trouble. My brother's an officer here. If I was going to get even with Bobby Ray, he'd probably come put me in jail. That's why I have to plan not to do it tomorrow. I need to wait about 2 years after everybody's forgot what he's done to me. That's called a grudge. Y'all with me? A lot of people do this. I know people that I have seen go after somebody about something that happened in high school. Beatest thing I've ever seen. They can't let it go. Jesus says, if you confess that you have a problem with a grudge, I'll forgive you. But also, I'm going to help you stop holding grudges. That's what it means. I'll cleanse you from unrighteousness. When we come to the Lord's table, you know, Paul says don't do it in an unworthy manner. I know people when I grew up hearing this, that what you do, if your heart's not right, don't partake of communion. That's not what Paul says. He says you must examine yourself. So when we come to the Lord's table, it's not about being sitting here being real reverent and I'm good and everything's all right. It's about saying, Lord, do I understand what it costs for me to be here? You gave your life for me. You died in my place. Lord, if I accept your self-sacrifice for me, then, Lord, I ought to want to live clean every day. Lord, as I come to this table, I've walked through a lot of things up here in Tramway. I've walked through a lot of things on the news that I didn't like, might have made me mad. Lord, I've even walked through some stuff I shouldn't have said this week. What I need to do is let you wash my feet. My heart's clean, but I done tracked some world up in here. Do you see what Jesus was doing when he washed the dirt off their feet? They had walked through Jerusalem, and he was washing their feet. I had a big old mountain boy used to work with me, and we was in California one time, and he come out of the truck stop, and I mean, the huge old boy, loved wearing shorts. He got his feet sunburned. And he come walking out, and my man had on sandals and tube socks. I said, dude, don't do that. Don't do that. I had never seen anything so silly in my life as them tube socks and them sandals. I'm like, you got to take off the socks. He said, my feet ain't ever going to get burnt again. My point is this. When we walk through life, we track a lot of dirt and we track a lot of stuff that to us looks all right on our feet. But to Jesus, he says, you need to wash that off. That don't look good. That don't look right. See, we understand Jesus died for us. We accept his forgiveness. And when we do that, we want to stay confessed up. As we come to the Lord's table, we want to remember to wash up for supper. We need to imitate Jesus' humble service. Jesus promises to bless his servants if we follow his example of sacrificial love. He says here in verse 15, for I give you an example that you also should do as I do for you. He's told them that the Lord and the teacher has washed your feet and you are to wash one another's feet. In other words, Jesus says, look, if I'm the Lord and teacher, and it would be a disgrace for me to wash the disciples' feet, yet I done it, then you should humbly serve one another, is what he's saying here. Truly I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one sent greater than the one who sent him. That's what Paul was saying. Jesus, in the image of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. The Father sent the Son, and the Son obeyed the Father and served and accomplished the purposes of the Father. He didn't consider himself greater than the one who sent him. He says, if you know these things, you are blessed. So I'm blessed if what? If I imitate Jesus. If I don't consider myself more important than others. Well, what do? You try to consider the needs of other people is what Jesus is saying here. He says, if you imitate me, verse 17, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Then look at verse 18. He says, I do not speak to all of you because I know the ones I've chosen, but this is that scripture may be filled. He who eats the bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. He's talking about Judas again. Not everybody that follows Jesus or says they follow Jesus will imitate Jesus. Not all of them will understand what Jesus has done for them, and not all of them will accept Jesus' gift of forgiveness. But if we do, he says that we are blessed if what? If you do these things, if you serve one another. He says in just another verse there in chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus says here that you are blessed, you're happy, you'll be prosperous in the kingdom of God if you what? Do these things, serve one another. Now, a secret to serving each other. When we serve other believers, did you know that some believers are just easier to serve? You know, sometimes I want to say, Lord, why I get the difficult ones? Right? The Lord will put somebody in my path to be witness to. Some of them's in my family. I'll just be truthful with you, and they know it, because I'll call them and tell them. All right? I'm like, Lord, they act like they don't hear anything I say. And used to, they would just agree with me. But now I've been preacher long enough, they just don't answer the phone. Right? But you know what we got to do? Keep loving them. And keep praying for them. For God to soften their heart. For God to open the door. And we got to be humble enough to say, Lord, I might not be the one that leads them to you, but I just want to see them come to salvation. See, a lot of times, the people that are unwilling to let go of the little things that are not pleasing to God, like anger, gossip, whatever might be going on in their life, they're the ones we have to deal with every day. And as we deal with them, what do we want to show them? The extent of Jesus' love. If Jesus forgive us that much, we should also forgive one another. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as we think about Jesus inviting us to the table, he says that we need to wash up. First, we need to understand that he died for our sins, that he died in our place. He took the punishment we deserved and was executed on a cross, was buried and resurrected. First thing before we take this, if you're here today and you've never accepted the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, it's this simple. You just pray and say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've not lived life your way. I believe that you lived the life I should have lived. You died in my place, and I'm asking you, Jesus, to forgive me and take control of my life. If you prayed that, mean it with all your heart, then you're forgiven, and your life will have purpose. You'll be reconciled to God, and you'll start learning and understanding how to live God's way. If you prayed that this morning, raise your hand. If you're here and you've been saved a long time and you understand that Jesus died for your sins and you've asked him for forgiveness, I'll ask you, did you do more than just accept his forgiveness? Have you started following him closely? Are you imitating the love Jesus has showed you by showing that to others? This morning, if it's anything in your life that's not pleasing to God, just say, Lord Jesus, and you name it. You fill in the blank. I know I shouldn't still be doing this. Lord, I know I shouldn't still feel this way. Lord, I know I still shouldn't be acting out like this. Lord, I know I shouldn't be thinking these thoughts. Lord, I asked you to forgive me, and I asked you just to take these habits, these hurts, or these hang-ups, and take them away from me, that I can leave here today washed, that I may live the rest of my life bringing you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask if Jesse will come and preacher, James, and Mike, you can come and check the parking lot if you want to. Gilbert, if you want to come, we can try to do it on the sides, or they can just hand them out. Thank you. As we get started, I've said this before, these, if you'll kind of pull it with your finger, the clear part is what we take off first. If you pull all of it, it's kind of hard to get the wafer out on top, so just look to pull the clear part off first. Scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he, having given thanks, he took the bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Paul says, "For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. Kind Father, we just thank you for the communion of the table. We thank you that we can partake in your life, in your shed blood, and in your resurrection, that we can have life in your name, life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anyone's in the parking lot, Mark is coming out there. If you'd hold your hand up out the window or something so he could see you. Thank you. If you have any trouble getting that little clear film off the top, just raise your hand. We'll hand you another one. We've been using these because of COVID, so. Everybody get them open. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, it says that he took the bread and giving thanks. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for creating us, creating everything. And Lord, we thank you for your plan of salvation. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, we thank you for the life that you lived, and we thank you for dying in our place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus says, take and eat all of it in remembrance of me. Scripture says, in the same way, he took the cup of blessing, and he says, this is the blood of my new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of sin. And he gave thanks. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your plan of salvation again. And Lord, your word tells us that there's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And Lord, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus. who loved us, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, who died in our place, and Lord, who was raised 3 days later. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus says, take, drink in remembrance of me. Scripture says, as often as we do this, as often as we come to the table, we proclaim the death of Christ until he returns. I pray that next week, next month, that in 2022, that you'll remember each day that we live to be a testimony to what Christ has done for us. That you would not forget that Christ died in your place. That you would accept that forgiveness and treasure it. And if little things creep into your life, you'll just ask Jesus to forgive you and take them things away. And then imitate Jesus, his servanthood. Each day of our life, it's called sanctification. Each day of our life, the Lord leaves us on this earth so we'll be less and less like our old sins and more like Jesus. I'm going to ask Bobby Ray and Scott to come and close us in a song.
An awesome God.
such an awesome God, so mighty, so holy, so wonderful, such an awesome God, so selfless, so generous, so faithful you are, such an awesome God. Such an awesome God.
Thank y'all so much. Thank y'all. Y'all give God a hand. The old saying goes, God is good all the time. And all the time? God is good. Y'all catch it on? Thank y'all for being here. And if you need anything this week, my cell number and all is on those handouts for the prayer list back there in the back. Feel free to call or text if you need anything this week. I thank y'all for coming. Thank y'all for inviting other people to come. Continue to do that. Thank y'all. I see some visitors here and some back that's been out. And I'm glad to see everyone back today. And y'all have a blessed week. And I'm going to ask the pastor if he'll close us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful worship service. We trust that you are pleased we come to worship you. You are an awesome God. You love us. You care for us. You take such good care of us. You bless us. And the best part, you have a great and wonderful home for us prepared in the heavens. We praise you for that. We praise you that you promised us you'll come back and get us. You'll take us home to be with you, and we praise you for that. We do ask that we would share that with others, and hopefully more and more will get on board before it's too late. Thank you for the songs, Bobby Ray and Scott. Thank you for their talents that you've given to them and letting them sing and play for the glory of the Lord. And Father, we know that singing is an important part of worship, and when we get to heaven, we'll sing and we'll worship and we'll live in that for all of eternity. No more of the pains and sufferings of here. No more of the troubles and trials. No more of the anger and no more of the shame and no more of the hurt. It'll all be wonderful. It'll be like you intended for it to be at the beginning. And we praise you for that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the workers of the church. Every part is important because it's a part of worship. Thank you now for this time. Go with us now, we pray. Let us be lights shining in a dark world, showing Jesus to everyone. For it's in Jesus' name, and Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for dying for us and giving us eternal life as a free gift. All we have to do is accept it. Thank you for that. Thank you for reminding us about your body and your blood. And Lord, let us remember that each day as we go out. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.